Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, thy grace. Help us in every way. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our exercise of the study, in the study of the Gospel of John, and we have proceeded to the end of that particular section, chapter 20 and verse 31, summing up the whole purpose of the Gospel of John, summing up the purpose of all four Gospels. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in the process, to put that together, let us try to do so. If you would think in your heart, without turning there at the moment, to Genesis 1 and chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, God introduces himself, and lets it be known that he is the creator. That's what he is. That he introduced himself to creation, to the created, that's us. And he introduces himself. He doesn't say anything about anything else except about himself and who he is. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and then you would proceed through the pages of history and in the Bible, and God makes himself known in Genesis flood, etc., etc. And God makes himself known in a most wonderful way. Always God, creation needs to look to God, the Creator. That God tries to get the attention of us created to pay attention to who he is. He's God. That's a starting point. He's God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind and driving home that point again and again, making it very, very simple and clear. Therefore, over to Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 43. And in Isaiah chapter 43, would you know it, but I'm just trying to drive it home so you see it in the light of where we're going. Isaiah 43, picking up in verse 10. Israel was created to know God. In 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Sliding down to verse 7. Every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Sliding down to verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant Israel, my servant whom I have chosen, purpose that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the only God and the only Savior. Just me. Now hang on to that. Over to Psalm 44. Isaiah 44, I should say. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Driving home the point. Chapter 45. in chapter 45, picking up in the light of the everyone witnessing, tell ye and bring them near, the whole world, tell ye and bring them near, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God, and there is none else. I'm the only God. So I've got to get it clear. No question. 46, chapter 46. And verse 9. Remember the former things of old. Why? For I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. I am God, God, wonderfully, wonderfully God. This makes it clear. If you are turning the pages, sacred pages of history, God is what? Making known to his creation, to the created, that he's God. That's the issue. He's God. Now, and as you go down in the light of that, being God, and in the process, what are we going to do? Well, people have to do, if he's God and we're created, then we're responsible to look to him for the reason we are created and why we're on planet Earth, etc. We have to look to God, but I don't want to look to God, so I'm going to go and have my religions. Religion comes along. What's a religion to substitute for? God, to replace God. And you have it in all the way in Genesis 11, etc., etc., etc. And what are we going to do? Ezekiel 14, verse 7, verse 3 and onward. But where do all idols come from? They all come from the heart. All the idols, all idolatry, comes out of the heart. Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Nothing and anything touch. All of creation is just creation. It's not me. God is God in his most awesome and wonderful way. And therefore, we have all our religion. What does religion do? Religion creates, Ezekiel 14 and 3 and onward, where they come out of our heart. We create Buddhas, we create philosophy, we create religion. Religion is man-made. That's what it is. And it's our effort. So if you look, here's my whole pile of books on the different religions. Here they are on the wall. You read them. Look at them. It's all about Book of Mormon, whatever, Science of Mind, whatever you want to do. But look at the books. It's all about us humans thinking and coming up with whatever. And we do it. The Quran, that's all we do. We come up. It's all about us humans. The Bible is God's book, the only book in all of forever. And God has given us his word. For what reason? To know he's God. Why? Because the whole world has got dark and lost the light. And therefore, we have all kinds of religions in God, and we don't have any attention to God, which is the whole point of darkness and the devil himself, to get rid of. So we don't see God. We don't think about God. But he is God. And God counters it. As we just read in the pages of history, God makes himself known in the midst of all that humans are doing to override and block out God. All that they're doing, God happens to still be the only God and the only Savior, period. He's our creator, etc. Now, and having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, now, over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Thank you. And the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four Gospels, to give four windows to look at our Lord, who he is. He's the King, servant, the perfect man. John, the Gospel of John, the perfect God. Now, the Gospel of John is written at the end, along with the Revelation, at the end, 95, right around AD. But the end, everything else has been done. Now, so God, what is John's? John is the last living apostle, and John has an awesome assignment. John's assignment is to go and put the pieces together from Genesis to Revelation. And that's his assignment. And so John goes and helps us understand John's gospel, that he is God, which is the whole point of history, the whole point of God's word, the whole point of religion and everything else. It's what? It's a problem with God. God happens to be the only God and the only Savior. So John, the Gospel of John written, it's about telling us, putting the pieces together, God is God, God is God. And if you do, now getting into Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, God has given his word, and then the book of Revelation is what? To help us understand in 22 chapters the conclusion of everything that God started in Genesis. Now, having said that, and understanding he's the last living apostle, and therefore it's about God. So therefore, there is no, John writes, he's writing about knowing God. And there is no virgin birth. There's nothing about the virgin birth, or his any birth, like in Matthew and Luke. There's nothing. It isn't about his birth. Not about his birth. And people can believe in his birth. I believe in the virgin born in this perfect humanity. Oh, I can believe that. But you don't believe in this deity, that he's God. That's right. See, people take part of it, don't take the other part. The issue isn't his birth. The issue is his person. He's God. Hang on. John chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. The beginning of John. We're going to start. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made, was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator. What is he doing? He's going to put on human flesh, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our God is going to put on a human house. That's what God's going to do in a most wonderful way, to give expression to who he is and to provide a solution for mankind, who Adam and Eve sinned. They lost their relationship to God. They got to get back to God. God created Adam and Eve, and all of us are his creation in order to know him and honor him. That's what we're for. God created us in his image and his likeness to know him. And so the Gospel of John is trying to help us to know God. That's what John's about. It isn't about to give us history or something or biography. It isn't that. It's to help us know God. Therefore, as we read John 14, our Lord then, verse 18, No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So what has God done? He's gone and declared to show. There's that word, and that little word, exegesis, there's that word to bring out, the word declared, to bring out, to draw out, to make clear, to make something, to make a clear explanation, a clear revelation, to bring that out, to put it forward. What is his purpose? Our Lord became flesh. God took on a human body. What for? Verse 18, that because no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. The purpose of the Gospel of John and our Lord Jesus is to make God known, make him understand. He's God. He's the Son of God. So therefore, when we look to John, all 21 chapters, as we're reading them, what's the whole point? To know he's God. Know he's God. That's what you want to do. So if you turn, and we did them in some form, we try to do them. Now, John, he's the Son of God. Go over with me, please, just as a little simple exercise, just to see it. Why do we need to see it? Because God has taken time in 21 chapters by the last living apostle to what? To confirm, to affirm and confirm, to settle in your mind and heart, there's one God and one Savior, and you need to know him. Period. Therefore, John chapter 3, as you'd be turning, and in the process, in John chapter 3, picking up in verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Sliding down. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, isn't believing, is condemned already. Why is he condemned? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They haven't believed in the Son of God. That's right. That's what you got to do. Chapter 4. Here's the woman at the well. In chapter 4, when it's all in the exercise of the context, chapter 4, sliding over if I can, to verse 25. And the woman said, I'll read verse 24, a little context, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The invisible God. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm him. That's right. I'm the Son of God. That's where I am. Over to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, picking up in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. And they understood that. They weren't stupid. They weren't religious. They understood that he was making himself, end of 18, making himself equal with God. That's what he was saying. Now, having said that, that's what he was doing. Now, sliding over, if I can, in the light of that, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear that he shall live. It's his awesome. He is the Son of God. He isn't talking about his birth. It's making something very clear. God is making him his only God. He's the only God and the only Savior. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in his own definition of himself. And then the only way we can know him is by Christ going to the cross and dying to making that possible in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, picking up in thought, here's many of his disciples, remember, verse 66, walked no more with him because he told them who he was. They didn't want to know. And they didn't want to understand that he is God. And there, verse, to get a little context, verse 52, and the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? How he's going to die on the cross for us? It just didn't make sense to them, and they just didn't believe. And therefore, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more. They weren't going to go. You can't be. You can't be. Over to chapter 6, and in verse 7, 27. 67, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe, and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They are the Son of the living God. That's right. You're going to keep saying it. And say it over 21 chapters. For what? Do you understand? He's the Son of God. He's God. God in the flesh. Therefore, if I can, in chapter 9. And in chapter 9, picking up, if I may, in verse 35. And remember now, the man was healed. And verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now remember now, he got healed. They didn't want to believe him. And therefore, here's the man. And picking up, I can, in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, etc., when he had found him, and he said unto them, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered, this is the man that got healed. He answered and said, who is he? And the Lord, and he, who is he? Lord, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. So that's pretty clear, pretty simple. That's what he did. Now, in the process of that, picking up verse in verse 37. Now, over to chapter 10, just picking up again. Chapter 10, verse 33. The Jews answered and said him, saying, a good or a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man makest thyself God. They understood perfectly clear. They understood that. They didn't want to believe it. They didn't want to believe it, because it being a man, you can't be God. That's what the problem with the Jews. They couldn't understand that God could become a man. Hang on to that even for tonight. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, chapter 10, and verse 36, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest. And the Lord said, because you think I'm telling a lie, because, verse 36, I said, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. That's all you need to know. I am the Son of God, in a most, most awesome way. Chapter 11, and in verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. What for? that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So if you kept reading, it's all about what? God, he's the Son of God. Who is this walking around Palestine, going to the cities? Who is this in Jerusalem in the temple? He's the Son of God. That's who he is. I'm the only God. I'm the only Savior. And I told you, I had to come to go to the cross and die so that you could enjoy my awesome presence. I created you for my honor and for my glory. So therefore, you need to trust me and look to me with all your heart. And that's what I'm doing. And all you had to do was believe. And remember, John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how showest thou, sayest thou then, show us the Father? They've had a problem. Here he is standing in front of them, and a man, you could touch him, et cetera, et cetera. We did all these things, and you can do that. And in the process, but they just couldn't see. They couldn't understand that there was God in the flesh. That was God in the flesh. And doing what? To help you understand God. God is God. And God is going to go and die on the cross so that you can know him as God. That's what you need to do, to know and understand. John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, you'd recall, if I may, in verse 8 and 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Sliding down, verse 24. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not, believe me, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Well, who are you? You're the Son of God. You're not just a nice man that sacrificed. You are the Son of God. You're God. Yeah, I'm God. And you're going to die in your sins. It doesn't say you die because of your sins. You die in your sins. What did Christ do with sins? He forgave you your sins and died on the cross. He's put them all aside. You're going to die lost. You're a sinner, and you're going to die in your sins. A sinner's going to die in their sins. That's what they're going to do. You don't have to die in your sins, but that's what you're going to do. You're going to die in your sins if you don't believe. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over in John, picking up in the light of that, and remember now, we did in John chapter 20, and in John chapter 20, which is where we were, what looking at, and we did in verse 30, conclude John, this is 21's an extra part of it, we'll see. John chapter 20, verse 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And we looked at them, and there are 35 different miracles in the four Gospels. John uses 7 of them. Matthew uses 20 of them. And Mark uses 18, and Luke uses 20 of them. So not his, all these miracles, but the point isn't the miracles. The point is to get you to pay attention. Who is it doing, saying, being. It's God in the flesh, going to die on the cross. He isn't just a sacrifice. It isn't a sacrifice like an animal. God is going to offer himself for the sin of the world. God is going to die on the cross. God can't die. But he put on a human house like we have so that he could die. He could pay the price. He's the sinless one that dies and pays the price for us sinners. He pays the price for every single sin. That's why we're saved, can be saved, forgiven. That's why verse 20:31. But it isn't about the signs. It isn't about all of the other things. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. To have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God, these are written that you might believe. Believing is the substance, is the centerpiece of what the Gospels. It's the Bible. What are you talking about? You're supposed to understand the Creator happens to be the only Savior, happens to be the only solution of why you're here, who am I, why am I here, where am I going, well, all those different questions. God is the answer. God. Therefore, in verse 31, these are written that you might believe. The word believe, remember, comes from the verb to be persuaded. To be persuaded, to be convinced, to confirm, to go and make it so that you understand that you're very confident, very comfortable, etc. You're looking to God, and you're full confidence. You're looking to God to do whatever. So you believe God. Believing doesn't make anything true. Believing just attaches to something. And if it's a belief, and remember the word belief, just slide over right next to it, out of the same box, out of the word persuade is the word believe, out of the word persuade is the word faith. Faith, believe. John uses the word believe 99 times. He does. Hebrews will go about faith, just the opposite. Hebrews, about faith. So it's what are we doing? God, it's all about believing. The whole point is just Adam and Eve did what? God, they just goofed, sinned, lost their relationship to God, and God met them in the garden in his walking. They missed his walk. They missed their afternoon walk. And in the process, they came out from behind the trees. And what did they do? He told them. He said, listen, I've made a wonderful solution. I have the reason I let you get created and I allowed you to fall to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want you to know I have going to go, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, I'm going to go and die on the cross to cover all the bases of all humanity that's going to come out of you. That's us guys. Here we are. And God, you're going to die for the sin of the world. That's right. And Adam and Eve believed God, boom, without a debate, without a discussion, they immediately received him as their Savior, as it were, and God put coats of skin on them and covered them, as it were, to show the wonderful person and saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, God makes an eternal relationship permanent, easy. And by the way, just in case, John chapter 16, remember, we said, and John, you don't have to, John 16, hang on, John chapter 3, verse 18, they're condemned already, not because of their sins, but because they didn't believe, John 3, 18, singular, sin, what is the sin, what is the problem, you haven't believed. Therefore, like we did in Hebrews chapter 3, your sin, the unbelief, it's your unbelief that's lousing, putting you in great jeopardy. Chapter 16, verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, what about sin? Because, verse 9, they believe not on me. They don't believe. It's the sin of unbelief. So we are going to talk. So back over to John chapter 20 and verse 31. What's the whole point? These are written that you might believe. What's belief got to do with it? Everything. Everything it has to do with it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, in the process, you're looking to God, and God's going to go and do a wonderful thing to make your relationship real and possible. And belief is the goal, as we shared together, to believe. And in the process, so the people were to believe, and the Jews were not believing. They crucified him. Now, so having persuaded, etc., doing all that as we did, in the process, so they need to believe. And what do you know? You don't have to turn there, but Romans chapter 1, 19, 20, 21, 22. God has made what? All creation, the flowers, the birds, the bugs, the bees, the stars, the moon, your body, your function, your 12 systems, making you physically alive. All of that God made. He's the creator. He's the creator. And everyone that is born on planet Earth, he makes himself known. Romans chapter 1, 18, 19, 20, 21. He makes himself known so that they can never say. How does he make himself known? All of creation declares God's creativity. There's nothing, 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 nothing that can be explained. Everything is created. The microbacterial flowers, bugs, all the petals, all the functions of your body, all the functions of your body, marvelous functions, thousands of your heart going, whatever, the blood cells going out, red blood cells, and the red blood cells are doing what they do, and they do their job, and then they are substituted with the more blood cells. Everything's done speeds, thousands of miles. Anybody? Speed. Everything's going on fast. We don't understand it. You can be a doctor and learn about it and exercise things, but we could do it. It's life, physical life in all of its functions. Wow. In all that it does, it's something else. God, Romans 1 and 19:20. God said, my creation, and I personally make myself known to every human being in their little baby, when they're a little baby and they grow, I make myself known. I did all of this, we did this. So you understand that. Now in the process of all of that, in doing all of that, if these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You've got to understand he's God. God in the flesh. Why do I have to understand? Because if I don't understand, and it's real simple. I don't want to get caught up in religion. I don't want to get caught up in philosophy. I don't want to communism, socialism, whatever. I don't want to get caught up in all those idiotic things. I don't want to get caught up in them. All of that is to keep me earthly, and I don't deal with the fact that I'm accountable to God, and I'm definitely accountable to God, no matter how I cut the cookie. And now, there are nice people, and there are very bad people, humanly speaking, and they're nice in all kinds. All of that, and in all of your niceness, I'm not a sinner like that person. That may be, but you have a problem. You have an old nature. You can't get away from it. You can deny it, but it's a stupid thing to do because that's how we think. Where do you think doubt, disappointment, discouragement, where do you think all these words come from? Depression, 1,000 words. Where do you think they come from? From your old nature. If you didn't have an old nature, you would never be disappointed. You read it, no matter who you are. And to boot, to add to that, you're all going to die. Everyone ahead of you that's been in the past has died. They all died. You can't find them. They died. Do you know, that doesn't sound like a good thing to die. You know? What do you want? Just die. But you do die. Now, how do you answer your death? Religion? Mormonism? Do whatever you want. You can't answer it. You've got to look to God. The nice people need to get saved, the same as the bad people. We're in trouble. And if we deny it to ourselves, we're just stupid. Because we're going to die. And we're answerable to whom? God. That we didn't want to deal with the subject. God created us. God died to save us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And so all of us, he cried to die. He didn't die for some of us. He died for all of us to get to know him as our Lord and Savior. That's what he did. And so we can't escape it. People do. They get religion and whatever. Oh, I believe that. That isn't going to help you when you die. What are you going to do? You can have 3 books and whatever you want to. And you could have written 10 books on why you're never going to die or why nothing's wrong. But all of a sudden you die and you're accountable to God. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. What are you going to do? So what is it written for? John 20:31. These things have I written unto you that believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You need to believe. In order for what? To know him. He died on the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He died to give you life. He died to give you a relationship. You lost your relationship to whom? The Creator, the Savior. And you need to have that relationship restored. God died on the cross to make it possible to have the restoration of your relationship to God as it ought to be. You're made in his image and likeness. You're made to enjoy him and know him. And that's what you're there. And you need to exercise that in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, the key word, believe. Do you believe? Not understand. Believing doesn't mean you understand. Believing, you believe. I believe. I believe I have 12 systems in my body. Well, I don't understand them for nothing. But I know. I believe, etc. I believe. But believing isn't the same as understanding. So I need to know that so that I relax and look to God in a wonderful way. It's so simple. Once I get rid of all the everything and just stop and be still, like the psalmist, be still and know that what? I am God. Shh. Be still and know that I am God. That's what I want. That's awesome. Simple. Wonderful. We're in his presence. We're in his awesome presence. And the more I can understand, put this together in my little head, I'm going to understand I'm always in the presence of God. I never can be out of the presence of God. in heaven and hell, I'll never be out. People out of the presence of God. Wow. What a wonderful thing. So God, 1 John chapter 5. First John and chapter 5, and picking up. As you would know rightly, just tying it together. First John chapter 5, picking up. If I may, you know it, let it sink into your head and heart. Chapter 5, picking up verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he had testified of his Son. He's the Son of God. God says, listen, I sent my Son to die on the cross. God the Father sent God the Son to die on the cross. That's what he did. And you believe people all the time. They write books and all kinds of things, and newspapers and television and everything. And we believe people all the time. God said, why don't you believe me? I put it in writing. It's history, wonderful, sacred, secular history, that I'm God, the only God. All Zeus's and Mercury's and all the gods and lots of them, Marduk, and all the gods are nothing. God says, they are. I'm going to pray to Zeus. Pray to Diana. Go ahead. Go ahead. Won't do you any good. Won't do you any good. There's no gods. We made gods. There's only one God. I want to know him. And then I won't get sidetracked or miss out. I want to know you, God. The only one. No mistakes, no confusion, no contradiction. I just need to know you. And I don't care how nice you are and how good you've been, you need to get saved. You need to believe. And if you don't believe, you are in serious, serious, serious trouble. And you can pull it off any way you want, but one day you're going to drop dead and you're going to answer to God. It's too late. John chapter 5, 1 John 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not the Son of God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Believe, 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 believe. Verse 11. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, I receive the Son of God, I receive the life of God. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, so we're reading them, that's why we got 21 chapters in John. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So what now, I believe he's the God, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's what I want. I want you to be able to be a believer. Be a believing believer. Not I believe, present tense, believing. I need to be a believing believer. And verse 20, closing. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And the closing, keep yourself, little children, keep yourself from idolatry. Don't have all kinds of things to replace God, religiously, socially, sexually, secularly, whatever. Don't replace him. God is. Don't have any images or likeness. I am God, infinite, like in Hebrews we did. You have to understand. The only way you can understand in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The only way you can understand you're in the presence of the invisible God is by faith. You're going to have to let God be who he is, because he is who he is, and he said he is who he is, and history has proven who he is, and the book, the only book that you wrote, God, that you gave to us, says you is who you are. And I need to understand that and lock it in and bow my head in thanksgiving for you being who you are. Awesome God. Now I have to learn and understand, what is it like? What does it mean to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent? What is it, God, like? It's awesome, God. Awesome. No more religion. I hate religion. I hate all that junk. I know I was raised a Methodist. I know all that. I hate religion. Religion robbed me. It robbed me of him. I don't want that. Our Father in God, thank you for caring, loving God as we stumble through this. It's way beyond us, God. We're just little old us, and then there's you. So Spirit of God, take care of us, even now, each one. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your presence. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. In Christ's name.